Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game.
Well, you always left me sad aside and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
See, all these illusions just take us too long. Because you walk pretty, because you talk pretty, because you make me sick, and I'm not leaving till you're leaving. Oh, I swear there's something when she's pumping, asking for a raise. What does she want me to carry you home? Does she want me to buy a thing? On my house, on my job, on my boots, shoes, my shirt, my crew, my mind, my father.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. It is Wednesday night, and that means it is time for our weekly run through the headlines. And to do that, of course, I do need to bring in my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Always a pleasure, JR, to talk to you, sir. And to PTV Nation, welcome everyone to episode 128 of the Place to Be Podcast. As my partner has mentioned, it is indeed time for our weekly cornucopia of fun and games. We're going to switch things. Well, not switch things up. We're going to. I guess we are going to switch things up a little bit this week. We are going to talk about Raw, but not a lot because, let's be honest, we all watched it. And a great job by everyone who hopped into the chat Monday night. We had a lot of fun. We had to entertain ourselves because that show was horrendous. So we needed to entertain ourselves a little bit. But we're going to hit two main points, JR and I, tonight. Because the rest of the show is really not that. It was pretty underwhelming for a go-home Raw. I was pretty disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of comments people brought up in our chat, JR, I want to talk to you about that hit me. Very interesting. We'll go over the SmackDown spoilers, see what's going to happen on Friday night for the actual go-home show heading into the pay-per-view. Speaking of the pay-per-view, Over the Edge, I knew I was going to do that, Over the Limit, which will take place this Sunday in Raleigh, North Carolina. JR and I will go over our picks. Six matches at the moment, including the YouTube freebie. And then, of course, we will have our news and notes. Nothing salacious or juicy, but some interesting tidbits this week. Of course, we will have our PTB Nation Asshole of the Week. Cole Hamels is our defending champion, but yes. a lot of different choices, a lot of different things this week. And then, of course, a little sports update. Got some playoff hockey going on right now at the Garden between the Rangers and Devils. Celtics are blowing out the Sixers right now. Lakers hoping to not get blown out later on this evening. And we'll talk a little baseball as well. So, all right, JR, the floor is yours. Raw was, let's just be honest.
P.S., yes, your cunt is in the sink.
Well, I can't believe I'm, I am going to believe I say this, but I actually felt a little pity for him on Monday night.
Yeah, well, they made him a sympathetic babyface as he got bullied in the last segment. But let's start at the top. Your boy comes out. And already, the shit's hitting the fan because he comes out, he's got his little sling on, which many of you have used to defend him. But in the moment that really kind of tweaked me, and I saw it tweak some other people across the internet wrestling community, was that Triple H kind of shrugged the injury off and said, I've had worse. It's not really that bad. Mm-hmm. And that really ticked me off because this is a guy in a situation that really should be putting over the severity of the injury and the storyline. And I just feel like he has this issue where whenever he's a face, he can't make anything serious. He's going to make everything snarky and cool. And it's just like, why am I going to invest myself in this storyline? Why am I going to buy that this is a legitimate injury? Why am I going to think him or anyone else is in danger when 3 weeks ago John Cena is giggling and giving speeches after Brock Lesnar murders him, and then he's out the next night? And last night, Triple H, 2 weeks after getting his arm busted, he's in a sling. The week before, he's out with Floyd Mayweather, you know, prancing around the ring, and now here he is just giggling and saying, I've had worse injuries, whatever, who gives a fucking shit? This pussy bitch Brock Lesnar broke my arm, but it doesn't really hurt. I've suffered way worse injuries. Okay. Now, why do I give a shit then? I don't care if you're hurt then. I'm not going to pay to see you get revenge. revenge. It's just insipid to me. It's backwards booking and it's counterproductive.
Okay. Let me clear my throat. I will say this before I preface my answer. I have always had.
I couldn't think of the Let Me Clear My Throat rapper in time, but it was DJ. No, DJ Cool. Is that it?
DJ Cool. Yeah. In the 9 years that I've known you, I've always, not only your family to me, but I've always respected you as a wrestling fan. Always. And we wouldn't be doing the show if I didn't think that. And I know for a fact you are not a Triple H hater. I know you're not.
No, and that's why I get even more aggravated because I'm in the chat room. Oh, good. Finish your thing.
And I know a good portion of the IWC is. So you, I will not sit there and go, oh, you're just bitching because you like to bitch. No, I'm not going to do that to you. A lot of people on the internet, yes, I will do that because a lot of people like to say that. A lot of people like to give him shit just for the sake of doing it, whether it's because he's an easy mock, not in that way, but you know what I mean, or people who know me like to get me going because it's entertaining. Same thing with our man Wilkie. You didn't do that. I know you didn't. We goof with each other on the chat board because it's fun. But in deep reality, I know that's not how you are. Okay. I do agree with you a little bit. I wish that he did kind of put it over a little bit.
It's a trend. It's an annoying trend.
I agree. My only thing is, and I'm not, all I'm saying here is, you made a big point about putting over Brock. Time to play the game. We are right now, as a matter of fact. Now, you're making it out like Brock is this brand new up and comer guy who.
It's not just Brock. It is the storyline. Why am I going to pay to see this guy get revenge? Why am I to fear Brock when the worst he can do is ding up a guy's arm and he's giggling about it after? Like it didn't hurt. It just doesn't make sense.
I wouldn't say he was giggling about it.
He basically did. Come on.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, the point is, no, I wouldn't go that far. But I mean, he did. He could have put it overboard. I agree with that.
He should have came out and he should have said, hey, you know, I'm back. I'm in pain. I'm here. I'm here to take, you know, punishment out on Brock Lesnar for his actions. This man is a menace. Not only is he, you know, professionally trained and was one of the best wrestlers in WWE history, he is also now MMA trained and is vicious in the ring. And we saw what he did to John Cena. John Cena survived, but he shouldn't have. And now I'm out here standing, thankfully, even though Brock Lesnar assaulted me and broke my arm. I'm not going to back down from him. I'm the CEO. I am the game. I'm going to stand up to him. But I know it's not going to be an easy, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And instead, just to come out and shrug it off, why even do the segment? Why even have him break his arm if it doesn't mean anything? It just, that meaning behind these storylines has been wasted. And Triple H is a guy that should be setting the example for these things, not the guy pissing in the face of it. He's the one that's all staunch in favor of kayfabe and hates all the reality stuff and tough enough and all that shit. And you know, here he is. I don't know. It's just like he's just pissing into the storyline.
I thought a lot about this since Monday night. And yes, I am very trigger happy here. Hair trigger when it comes to him a lot of times. Not as bad as Wilkie, man. He was getting fired up.
Well, and I don't like being, and I know you're not doing it, but he did it in the chat. I don't like being accused of just, it's like any Triple H fan, if you say anything about him, they immediately go to the defense of, you're just saying that because he married Stephanie. No, it's not the case in everything. If you know, some people are over the top about it. They bitch about it every time. I'm fine with him being in storylines. Hey, go back and listen to our podcast from last June. I was all for him being the CEO and doing that whole angle. I thought it was going to be great, and I'm for him running the company. But not if he's going to do stupid shit like this. You know, and I give you the analogy today. It's like if back in 1985 when the Horseman busted Dusty Rhodes' hand in the car door or whatever, if Dusty came out the next week and they go, oh, sorry, baby. Yeah, you broke my hand, but you know what? I don't give a shit. It doesn't really hurt that bad. I'm going to go here and beat the Mulkey Brothers now. It's like, it doesn't make sense. It's stupid. It's like, there's no legitimacy to it.
First of all, Dusty would never have put over the Mulkey Brothers. But, you know, I know what you mean. Well, no, you know, it was a good Ray example Trello. Made. There was a good example made by somebody. I always forget, and I apologize. I got to start writing these down when people bring up something. I think it might have been Dennis Nunez, I think. Somebody
there's
brought
only one
up.
One Dennis, I know.
Yes, that's true. If he was in the chat room, that'd be awesome. I think it was Dennis Nunez. Might have been somebody else.
If it's not, you better say sorry to Dennis.
I know. No, but if it is Dennis, maybe you should. Well, I'll say I'm sorry to the person that should have got it because this is a good point. In 2000.
I think you should say sorry to Dennis anyway.
In 2000, When Foley walked down the ramp in Chicago, what is it, that week before the
I don't do any tricks.
Yeah, see? He's not putting over his tricks.
That was my analogy. I gave that analogy. The Foley in 2000?
Oh, that was you. Okay, yeah, the Foley in 2000. If he didn't sell that, credit. He sold it then. Why 12 years later would he sell it now? All right, I get that point. You're right about that. So I've been thinking about this the last 36 hours, I guess it would be, or 48, I guess. And I've really wanted to come out here and have a good, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. This is not a point counterpoint where I'm totally disagreeing with you. I wanted to at least not sound like, you know, well, you know, it doesn't matter. He's going to lose anyway, which I think he's going to do anyway. I think Brock's going to beat him whenever this match is.
I don't know for sure. I mean, I hope so. I think it's best for business. And I think deep down he knows that that's true. But with this whole story leaking about, you know, how they want Brock to go over, put over their stars before he leaves again, worries me a little bit.
What do you mean story of Brock? No, Brock's supposed to put over there.
That's what I said. Yeah, they want Brock to put over all their stars before he leaves. So it just worries me a little that Triple H is going to go over.
No. Oh, I see what you're saying. He's not. Well, I'll get to that point in a minute. You opened up another can of worms. I think that this storyline, I think this whole Brock thing has been completely mismanaged and totally.
Of course.
If anything, this storyline should have gone before John Cena. I think the John Cena storyline should have been. And look at why that was done. Mm. That was done because they said, well, we want to make sure that Cena he gets his
Brock walks out.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. What I think should have happened is they should have done this storyline first, started the storyline with all the negotiations and the contracts and all that crap, and then have Brock beat the hell out of Hunter, and then Hunter puts him over, and then move along and eventually get to Cena. Hunter is not the figurehead of this business right now. Cena is.
And he's on my shit list, too, because, you know, another defense mechanism of the Triple H fan club is, oh, well, everyone else does it. Or, oh, well, you know, he's done worse. That to me, that's not a valid argument. Just because someone's done worse or someone else does it doesn't mean it's right when you do it. 15 wrongs do not make a right. Just because Triple H has snarked and shit on everything else in the past doesn't mean that's his gimmick and he should keep doing it. I mean,
I don't agree with that either. No, you're right. I don't agree with that either. That's not, yeah, you're not. Okay, so everybody else could suck at it. So he could suck at it too. No, again, when you're in that position, and that's where I think in a lot of ways, and this specific topic's a podcast for a whole other, you know, day. I think right now Triple H is in that weird realm of half guy on camera, half guy not on camera. And I don't think he's doing a very good job of separating the lines between the two. Triple H right now needs some forethought to realize, look, I got to realize that this is going to be my bread and butter. This is my, this is what's going to keep me alive. It's going to keep my kids food on my kids' table and my family's table and my in-laws' table. And he needs to really, start to evolve out of the DX attitude to not.
Yeah, it's just. It's just counterproductive.
That anymore. It is. I agree with that. I thought you were just getting a little too. I thought you were just getting a little too crazy about having Brock going over when Brock doesn't need really good. If it was Dolph Ziggler or somebody that really needs it, then I can understand you.
It's a story. It's the story. The story to me loses its luster if it's not legitimate. Yeah, and to me, to not sell it, it's stupid. And it's the same thing as the people who rightfully complain about John Cena not selling moves, popping up and winning a match. It's like the same exact thing. He just did it verbally. Yeah, he's wearing a sling, but if you're not selling it verbally, who cares? I could, you know, he could come out a full body cast, but if he's dancing a jig and giggling about it, what the hell's the difference?
Didn't the Yeti do that? Did he dance a jig all over
the Yeti part? Gave Hogan the booty hump.
the dry hump. The whole point of this is I agree with you.
Game the sugar tit swing.
Yeah, the sugar tit. Woohoo! All I'm saying is I thought you were getting a little too worked up over somebody who didn't totally need putting over him or the storyline as much as it needed to be.
Oh my God!
Now, he could have put it over.
Yes.
But anyway, the point is the whole Brock, this entire Brock thing is just has just been a mangled mess, and these feuds were all done wrong. Now the whole thing with grabbing Heyman by the thing, that actually made me more mad than the arm thing. It's like, now you're just bullying everybody because you like that made no sense. That was stupid. you know, holding, grabbing Heyman's face. I'm surprised he didn't pedigree him.
Yeah.
Those things annoy me more than, he probably could have handled that promo better. I don't disagree with that. I wasn't as irked only because I don't think Brock and the storyline surrounding him needs to be as put over as, say, somebody younger. But the whole grabbing Heyman by the throat thing, what I thought was over the top. That was unnecessary. Now you're just a grumpy, miserable, fucking short-tempered jack-off. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
You know what? The rest of what he said to Brock wasn't... I'm kind of rereading it now, and it's pissing me off even more. It's like, he still shit all over him. And maybe this is the point. Maybe they really want Brock to just look like a bitch and humiliate him, because he talks about, oh, you came to the WWE, you flaked out. You went to UFC, yeah, you made it to the top, but someone kicked your ass and you came crawling back. It's like, I don't know. It's just... It's destroying him right out of the gate. And Cena, what Cena did didn't help, and now Triple H, what he did didn't help. And to me, those are the two biggest guys on my shit list right now. And those are the two guys that should be setting the example, not, you know, running comedy routines.
Yeah, I think the whole thing, and again, when it comes to brass tacks, the guy that ultimately needs to be held accountable is Vince. I don't care how old he is or whether he's walking into walls or whatever the hell he's doing. Ultimately, he's the one that needs to. Now, is he going with the same approach with the storyline with Brock like he did with WCW and the Invasion? Oh, I don't want to make any money. I just want to make them look like assholes.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, Jesus, Vince, grow the fuck up, will you? I mean, come on, seriously. Brock is a huge personality. Is he a selfish jackoff? Yeah, he probably is. Hey, laugh at me all you want, but when you see the buy rate Sunday, you won't be laughing. I'll tell you right now.
Yes, that is true.
So, he's the one that ultimately needs to be held accountable for this, not Triple H. Not Cena, not me, not you, not Wilkie, not anybody. Him. He's the one who's the figurehead of the company. He's too busy doing snippets of Maria Menounos on Dancing with the Fucking Stars, which I have a thing about that later on. But it's that's the problem.
I would do more than snippets with Maria Menounos.
Hey. That's what it comes down to. What it comes down to is business. You want to make money. Okay, it's not about your ego. It's not about getting revenge. It's not about righting a wrong. It's about making money. Now, I know you, and I know this is weird because you talked last week about we shouldn't talk about the business. But now, to defend your argument, we need to talk about the business, because ultimately you're ruining business by cutting shitty promos and by running down guys instead of pumping them up. So, now should we spend an hour talking about the quote business? No. But the fact remains is, in the long haul, you need to make money. Mm-hmm. And this buy rate Sunday is going to blow. I can already see it now. Yeah. And it's through no fault of most of the matches. Will Punk and Daniel Bryan alone spike the buy rate? Unfortunately, probably not.
I don't know. I think there's going to be some...
It'll be good.
I think there may be some fans that generally don't buy it that may for that match.
No, I agree. I mean, I'd like to see that.
I don't think it'll balance out the loss that they're going to have probably from the main
viewing audience. Right, exactly. No, I think so. But ultimately, it does come down to business. And running down a high-priced guy for the sake of righting a wrong in your life is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
All right, enough of the Wendy Richter screwjob spider ladies, enough of Bretts in Montreal. Cut the crap. It is not about ego anymore. It's about survival. You don't even have any competition, and you're making life tough on yourself. You're the only show in town, and the buy rates are in the toilet. There's no excuse for that. So, yes, it is time to really think about, okay, you know, Brock needs to kind of hold us over a rail, because we need him to spike rates. I think the deal for the 35 appearance, I think that's dumb, to be honest with you. They should have said, look, we want to sign you, and we want you to come on as much as possible to put guys over, put storylines over. I'd have been great if Triple H, you know what would be great to fix this? I'll tell you what would be great to fix this. To stretch the storyline out, have him come out and break his other arm. And then he'll sit there too, and then he can be like, oh, well, you know.
I think the damage on that angle's done. I'm sorry.
So you think that that the match is just toast?
Does
Brock winning save it for you?
It depends how he wins. You know, a couple weeks ago I said, oh, it'll be fine if it's a back and forth match. Now I think he needs to squash him. The fact that Triple H was only gone for 2 weeks and he was already back reasserting his dominance, smacking Heyman around, talking shit, running Brock down, saying the injury didn't bother him. You know, it's like, now you got to kill him. You have to. Before, if you make him at least show some weakness, then you turn it and you're like, all of a sudden Triple H is a sympathetic hero and he comes up just short against Brock Lesnar. You can tell the story that way, but now they've already reestablished Triple H as a dominant male in this feud, I think. So well, unless Brock comes out and, yeah, I mean, I guess he breaks his legs and arm and Triple H is in a hospital for a year. Yeah,
and he does do the jig wrapped up. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know that's not going to happen. Even and I'm even admitting that, good or bad, that's just fact. But anyway, right now it is about looking at the bottom line. And they've got to realize that running down your talent and killing storylines is not good for business. And eventually, obviously, he's not getting good leadership or guidance from anybody.
It's just the way he's always been, though. It's just the way he's always been.
Right. It's fine to be that way when you're just the talent.
No, but, he's been more than just the talent for a long time now. And whenever he's a face, he does this kind of thing. When he's a heel, you know, he's very serious. He takes the storyline serious. But whenever he's a face, he's going to revert back to the DX, you know, 97 or even worse, DX06 mentality, you know, where everything's a goof and everything's a joke and it's for a guy that was such a great, serious heel to see him do this stuff and not understand, you know, like I said before, like you brought up, go back to 2000. Mick Foley makes that whole thing by being serious, and Triple H sold it, and it made money. And now Triple H is the other way around, and instead of doing what Mick did, being serious, and Brock, you know, retaliating seriously, he's out there making jokes. And whether it was a joke or not, whether it was one innocent line or not, it obviously resonated with enough people. And I think, you know, he just didn't show enough vulnerability after what happened to him to make Brock seem like a legitimate threat. That's all.
I thought, honestly, that when Sean left, that whole thing would be gone, because obviously it's not funny.
Yeah, but Sean was able to shake it off. Sean didn't do the shit as a face.
No, but my point is at least together you can understand why he's acting this way, because he's got his running buddy with him. I was hoping that with Sean gone, if anything good was going to come out of it, because nothing hit good. Let's be honest. We've had a couple of good matches since Sean has retired, but obviously the overall work rate quotient of the company took a bit of a dive when Sean left. If anything good came out of Sean leaving, you were hoping it would be that Triple H would change the way he acts as a face, because no one else is laughing. Unfortunately, he's not doing that.
Here's the problem.
And that's very disappointing.
To sum it up, he can't help himself. He can't help himself. Whether he's making horse jokes about Lillian Garcia, calling Chris Masters a stack of dimes and mocking his being off steroids. He's talking shit. Didn't he say something like The Miz a while ago or something stupid where he buried him, basically?
Yeah, he did a line to The Miz. He did a line to somebody else. And then the whole curtain jerking to Edge the night after WrestleMania. Yeah. I know everybody got pissed off at that.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like he just can't help himself. He has the power to say what he wants, and he says it. And there's certain times it's fine, but at certain times it's just not needed. And this is one of those times. And yeah, am I making things, you know, a bigger deal out of this than I should be? Probably. But it's just that it's a trend and it's annoying. And I don't know. It just set me off. But
led to some good lines in the chat room on Monday, though.
And the rest of the show was very forgettable for a go home show. Nothing else going on other than Randy Orton and Jericho really working hard in their match. But and then we get to this fucking train wreck of a finish.
Oh.
Desperation is such a stinky cologne, Mr. Laurinaitis. If that is your real name. With the election coming up, don't forget to vote for candidate X, because I like people. And that's what I'm supposed to say. 1-for-4 makes you a loser.
All right, someone, of course, had to mock this up and put their own sound effects. I'm not going to get into that again. I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
I was like, what the fuck are you playing? What is that? I thought you did that. any event, well, that's because someone was just as pissed off as we are.
Yeah,
and
that continued on. And, you know, John Cena, oh, he's just not that funny. And
he really isn't.
I don't know if you have the story, but I saw one.
I have a couple of Cena things. I'm not
Do you have the thing about how they want him to be happy and likable or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that later. Oh, actually, you know what? Fuck it. Read it now. Do you have it?
Let me find it.
Because it's going to play into my rant.
latest update on his divorce. No, I didn't have that. Here we go. Let me just let it open. You know how WrestleChat is. I'm going to talk to our man, the Jeff Peck, about this. Because of the divorce news that came out last week, WWE officials wanted to make sure that John Cena was up. I'm trying to read it, and there's more crap loading. Here we go. All right. Because of the divorce that came out last week, WWE officials wanted to make sure that John Cena was upbeat and positive on last night's Raw Super Show from Pittsburgh. I mean, so he's got to be, like, overjoyed and dumb?
He's basically a jacked up, sugared up, ultra lame version of Derek LaRue.
You know, it's funny, when he did the, "It's your real name," I thought, oh my God, he would say that.
Yeah, the most lame jokes. And the whole thing was just really weak overall. The loser thing was barely funny when Jim Carrey did it in 1995.
Yeah.
And now he's busting it out here for some reason. And it's like, the storyline is actually going pretty well. The beatdown last week with Lord Tensai, and the reveal that he was fighting Laurinaitis, and now you had the stipulations. But, you know, things were progressing nicely, and then we had to have the fucking John Cena open mic night comedy hour that was just so fucking lame. And if that's your real name, the loser. Oh, my God, was it brutal. It was brutal. I could barely watch it. Go puck yourself. Oh, wow, you got him.
Oh, my God.
It made Laurinaitis sympathetic. You almost felt bad that this guy had to stand here and listen to this clown.
Oh, my God. And then we had to use sports teams? Sports teams? Yeah, what even, is this, 2000? Sports teams?
Lame. Yeah, even more lame.
First of all, the Penguins suck, okay? And secondly, the Steelers haven't had a curtain in freaking 30 years. So, I mean, oh, my God. All right, well, guess what I found? I actually found it. It was smuggled in Lords of Pain. I don't think WrestleChat had it. Take a guess, Mikey. What do you think?
Cena's doing comedy. Don't like that. I usually like Cena, but comedy's not good. I'm going to go 2-9, dog.
2-9-4.
Woo, I'm on fire. I've been within like 0.05 or whatever.
2-9-4. 2-9-1, hour 1. 2-9-7, hour 2. So hour 1 did go up. Hour 2 did go up. Not by much.
That's bad, though. Under a 3? God, they were at a 3-4 for Brock's return after Mania.
Yeah, this is getting. You know how we were talking about. We can't compare it to other eras, but this is starting to turn into Nitro 2000 levels. I mean, this is getting. But again, they're not gonna.
Right.
Get canceled or anything. But yeah, 2-9-4 is what you are gonna lose is you're gonna lose advertising, because people aren't gonna pay the money.
Yeah, but they don't make the advertising money, right? Anymore? Doesn't that go to USA?
It's all USA. Well, maybe that's why USA forces him to do 3-hour shows. Yes. You know?
Maybe you should make him do a 1-hour show. That'd be the...
go back to the 95 Raws.
3-hour show only punishes us nowadays.
That is true. Yeah, so overall, it was a forgettable Raw. Relatively bad promo in the beginning. Unbelievably bad promo at the end. And then a lot of...
I would rather listen to Ken Patera promos than the two we had to listen to.
Oh, God.
Will you stop?
Step. Yes, Mr. President. Yeah. It just was really bad. And we have more on both the Triple H, Brock Lesnar storyline, as well as Cena coming up later in the news and notes. Would you like to delve into the spoilers?
Oh, God, I hope there's nothing that's going to aggravate me even more.
Right, well, at least it's just bullet points, so.
Dark matches, Dean Ambrose defeated a local wrestler. Mm-hmm. Attendance looked a little bit low, but there's a lot of... here we go. We got fucking colored storytelling in these spoilers, apparently. I can't just report the news. We got to get all his
yeah. Oh, this
thoughts
guy?
And opinions. Yeah. attendance looks low, but there's a lot of Daniel Bryan chants. Heat from Michael Cole as he comes out with Booker T.
Thanks. That's like people, Snooky Chumps 527 doing his clip on YouTube.
Yes. Thanks for the update. John Laurinaitis opens the show and talks about facing John Cena over the limit. Laurinaitis wants sympathy and wants the fans to pray for him. WWE Champion CM Punk interrupts a huge pop. Punk comes out and is glad Laurinaitis will finally be terminated after John Cena beats him Sunday. Punk wishes Laurinaitis the best in his future endeavors to a big pop. Punk goes on ripping Laurinaitis till he's had enough. Laurinaitis tells everyone to go to hell and announces Punk has to fight Kane. Kofi Kingston and R-Truth beat Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, so there goes that push.
Yep, pretty much.
God forbid we build up a fucking team for more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I guess it's better than the alternative where they beat the champions and give away that they're going to win the titles at some point. But
exactly.
Zack Ryder's Backstage Feelings YouTube show and Damian Sandow show and Walking to the Ring. Sandow comes out as Yoshitatsu way to the ring. Sandow cuts a promo, doesn't think Tatsu is worthy of wrestling him tonight. Yoshi taunts Sandow, calls him a chicken. Sandow lays Tatsu out with a modified neck breaker and leaves. Big Show video airs. Backstage segment with Sheamus and Randy Orton hyping up the four-way. Daniel Bryan beats Zack Ryder with the S-Lock. Kane beat CM Punk by DQ and Daniel Bryan staying off of commentary. Tried to interfere at the chair but hit Kane instead. Kane laid out the champion. Santino beat Cody Rhodes. And Randy Orton and Sheamus in the main defeated Sheamus in the main event with a roll-up. Title was not on the line. So interesting there. It makes you wonder if maybe Sheamus is going to go over after all.
Hmm. Well, don't forget, we have four guys in this match, so Sheamus doesn't have to be pinned to lose.
Yeah, no, but the fact that he was... I know, but the fact he was pinned...
Oh, well, that's true, yeah. I still don't know if I'm going to change my pick, though. Not a bad show. One more thing back on Raw. We didn't really get into it. What did you think of the whole Big Show thing? That was...
It went on too long. Yeah, it was raw. I mean, I thought it actually did a good job, though, making Laurinaitis into a real prick. You know, Big Show just looked like a big vagina.
he really, it was really aggravating me.
I mean, he did his best with the gimmick, and at least it was good to see him actually play it. It was over the top, but at least he was being serious and delivering it. You know, he wasn't saying, "Oh well, that was my other, comparison I made." It was a Big Show would have just been like, "Yeah, well, I don't really care about this job anyway. I'll find another job." That would have been the equivalent of what Triple H did, basically.
I really wanted to punch you when you fucking...
Well, I was right. That's why you wanted to punch me, because you knew they speak the truth.
Yeah, but we were done with that argument. Then an hour later, you had to bring it up again.
Well, because I was reminded of the nonsense.
Yeah, and you made Wookiee cry. But anyway, all right. Wookie, just the whole thing was a joke. This doesn't seem as bad, but at least I like hearing something like Backstage segment typing the four-way title match. At least they're. I don't even know how they did it, but at least they hyped it up.
Right.
I don't like Cody lost to Santino. That bothers me. I don't like that either.
Now, well, the problem is Santino, you don't know whether to take him seriously or he's a joke. He wins one week and gets slaughtered the next.
Yeah, and he's got a belt, so... we got more about those two guys later on in the news segment. So, all right, okay. So there's your SmackDown. Why don't we get down to business at the moment? And I took it right off our page. There is six matches for Sunday at the... And I don't remember the bank. It's not PNC, SPDP something, some bank arena in Raleigh, North Carolina. JR, why don't you...
RBC.
Is it the No, it used to be RBC. Is it still RBC? Maybe it is.
Royal Bank of Carolina.
Carolina. why don't you lay out the matches to us?
All right. Pre-show, Zack Ryder versus Kane. Are they finally going to blow off this feud? Who do you like?
5 months old? Kane's going to win.
Okay. Yeah, I mean... I don't know. You'd think Zach would win his pre-show, kind of keep the fans happy, and YouTube getting to tune in, but I can't see Kane jobbing here.
No, I don't think so either. I'll tell you something, though. We got a YouTube story coming up in a bit as well, but Vince is loving this. He's loving the YouTube thing, so
yes.
Don't see this going away, which is good.
Yeah, apparently they're making good money off it, so it makes sense.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the actual card. Layla defends her Divas Championship against Beth Phoenix.
I like Beth here. I think the Layla experiment was short-lived just to give her something. I think Beth... wins this and begins a nice long dominant reign, anticipating the return of Karma. So I like Beth in this one.
I'll probably take Beth, but part of me thinks Layla's just going to beat her so they can end that feud, and then Karma beats Layla. But we'll see.
So you think Karma will come in as a heel, or are you going along with?
I don't know. It makes more sense to have her as a face, but if they were going to have her come in as a face, it would have been, to beat the Bella Twins. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
All right, tag team title match, Kofi Kingston and R-Truth versus Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger.
You know, when we did the when I sent my picks in for the little non-profit competition we're having, I went with Kofi and Truth, but I don't know, I get a weird feeling about Dolph and Swagger here. I don't know why, but I do. But I think I'm going to do like you do and stick with my original thing, and I'm going to take... I think Kofi and R-Truth are going to retain. But this might be one of those times where maybe Dolph gets finally rewarded again for, putting up a lot of crap over the last few months.
I think so. It seems like they get a little bit more of a push than Kofi and Truth. It wouldn't surprise me to see Dolph and Swagger win the titles here. I'm going to roll with them.
Okay. All right.
All right. Battle of the John, as Derek LaRouche puts. John Cena versus John Laurinaitis, of course. No one's allowed to interfere any active members of the roster, and if John Laurinaitis does not win, he is fired as GM.
That was stupid.
Yeah. Well, he gives it away. He's not going to
give it away. There's no doubt that Funky's going to win this match. And obviously, if any superstar interferes, that obviously means Big Show is going to come in and cost. You and I differ on this, though, in terms of the fallout from this. You think that Show's going to be a full-blown heel, whereas I think Show's going to be a bitch face who now is going to be Funky's little 500-pound lackey and stay a baby face but realize he's stuck in what he's doing. But there's no doubt that whole thing was set up. All that reading of that stupid thing on Monday night was all for Big Show to run in and cost Cena the match. And that maybe that'll be the Cena filler feud. Although they do have obviously, I mean, we still have Lord Tensai floating out there, but that could be a filler feud, Big Show and Cena, because we haven't really seen it, not in almost, 8 years?
2009, kind of.
2000. Oh, yeah, that's part of the whole thing with Edge, that's true. Something to do until they decide what the fuck they're going to do with Brock, God only knows what. But there's no doubt that Funky's going to win this match. Because just everything, all the steps make no sense, and you're not going to fire him now.
Right. No, definitely not after they gave him sole control. So yeah. I agree. He wins here, and I think Big Show interferes. I've kind of come around on your idea that maybe he'll be the face that's kind of apologetic. Show plays that well, the apologetic face. He did it with Daniel Bryan over the winter, where he's going to do things he doesn't want to do, and he feels bad about it, but he does them anyway. So I can see that, him almost being in captivity with Laurinaitis. So I think it's no doubt that he interferes, though, and costs Cena. Yeah. His match. I've seen a couple of people, I think Seth Mates was one of them, saying that it should be Brock because he's not technically part of the roster now that he was suspended.
But like you said, why waste one of the appearances for 10 seconds?
Well, not even 10 seconds. Why waste it without
pumping it?
Yeah, without selling it. You know, him being on as a selling point. So you're basically wasting one of his appearances. And he should never be a surprise on anything. From here on out, he's only got limited appearances. He should always be plugged, always be pimped. So people, you know, will pay or tune in to see him. So
right. I agree.
Although I guess I won't really give a shit if he's made out to be a bitch anyway. All right. World Heavyweight Title Fatal 4-Way. We have Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio, Randy Orton, and Chris Jericho. I am a... You know, I was on the Sheamus wagon for a while, but I think the way they had him win lost a little bit of his luster, and I think they want a heel champion throughout the summer here to transition to Orton eventually. And with Punk not being that heel champion, I'm going to say Chris Jericho wins the title here.
You stole my thunder. I think Chris Jericho is going to win as well, actually. Sheamus losing Friday doesn't mean anything. I agree with you. I think they want to get the belt on Orton. I don't think Sheamus' experiment has failed.
Well, you know, let's look at it. This is, his third run with the title? I mean, at some point, something's going to happen with him. So, I mean, you can only give him so many failed chances. And I saw, you know, a couple of people on the blog made a good point of the Blog of Doom saying, "What is Sheamus's, who is he? What is he? Why should we care about him? You know, he's just this guy who comes out and does things. We don't really know his motive. We don't really know what gets him going. We don't really know his interests. You know, we don't know anything about him. He's just this Irish guy that beats people up. You know, it would be nice to have a little depth to his character.
I agree. It would be very nice. I'm surprised the little internet wrestling community friends didn't say that. Well, it's because he's Triple H's guy and he can do whatever he wants. I'm surprised that hasn't come up yet.
What do you think if they do a Diesel? You know, since we're talking about this in our Vintage Vault. So, what do you think if they did a Diesel 96 style heel turn with Sheamus, where after he loses, he snaps and says, "You know what? You guys have been, you know, the office kept me down. They wanted me to be a happy-go-lucky champion, and I'm not myself. And, you know, this is the real me." And then he goes on a kind of a little run, and maybe an eventual he goes on a Raw and feuds with Punk or something like that.
That's not a bad idea. He might be the one guy that could really benefit from that kind of change. You know, it's funny to use this comparison, but it's almost a lot like Triple H when he came back in 2002. It's like, yeah, we like him as a face, but at the moment, not fitting right now.
Yeah.
But we got to get some face turns here, though. So people have to start turning face, or we're going to have like three faces and 57 heels.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, we mentioned Christian before. I think Jericho maybe has it in him for one more face run before he leaves. But no, you're right. You're right. They're definitely, if they were to turn Sheamus, then they'd really have a void. So I don't see it happening. I just was kind of throwing it out there. All right, finally, we have the WWE Championship match, CM Punk versus Dan O'Brien.
This match is going to be awesome. It is the highlight of the show. I'm hoping it's last. I have a feeling it'll be last.
I don't know. Well,
I don't think the Johns are going to be last.
Well, it's one of the two.
Particularly if it ends with Laurinaitis winning, I have a feeling they're going to want to do the whole go home happy. And
I don't know. I could kind of see it. I mean, I think Punk Bryan deserves to be last, and I could definitely see them throwing it out there for 25 minutes at the end of the show to cap things off. Yes, but I would not be surprised if Cena Laurinaitis is last.
I'm hoping not, but I mean, obviously, there's a good chance it could be. Who knows? Well, we know that the four way won't be last. Excuse me, won't be last. Punk's going to retain. I don't think that. I mean, his run is not ending. He is still over. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take something really bad for him to just not be over anymore. But then again, even Hulk Hogan and all those guys got hit the wall at some point. But I don't think he will. Right now, he's still on fire. Fans love him just because A, he says whatever he wants. He is very now. Here's a guy that could do promos off the cuff and be funny without being corny and stupid.
Even sometimes though, he's a little forced when he tries to be too snarky.
Yes. Yeah, and you could tell when they make him. Like, he's the kind of guy, just leave him alone. Just let him do his thing. He would have been great in the Attitude Era when he could have really said whatever he wanted without any, you know, post-10 o'clock repercussions. But anyway, getting back to the match. The match is tremendous. It's going to be awesome. I think they're going to get 30. I mean, it's only five matches.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll add something.
I think it's going to be a great match. I could see them giving them a lot, 30, 35 minutes, and Punk will retain. Punk will definitely retain. I think people have been waiting for it. You saw those three, those three matches on Raw that ended in schmazes.
And who would have thought we'd actually, who would have thought we'd actually get it? You know, I know. We kind of joked about it at the time, saying, "Oh, it'd be awesome if they gave them a pay-per-view match." And lo and behold, we actually got it. So surprising.
Yep, I am. Yep. And it's going to be tremendous. It's going to be awesome. I think they're going to channel their inner Ring of Honor, and I think you're going to see just a great athletic match. And Punk's going to retain. Punk will keep it. So there you go. There is your Over the Limit card, which will be this Sunday.
Sad, because I mean, when they first announced those first two matches, I remember saying, "Oh, I was actually excited for it. Wanted to see it." But I don't know. Punk Bryan is one of those matches that will age fine. It's not like a storyline match or anything crazy where if you don't see it live, it's not going to have the same feeling. So when you have that kind of match on top, it's easy to say, I'll miss it and catch up. Maybe I'll have Jay Womette send me a copy of it.
That is right. Speaking of Jay Womette, we'll talk about him and many other things in a moment. But first, as we hustle along in this cornucopia of fun and games, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go over the news and notes. Again, some interesting stuff. Nothing earth-shattering. But maybe you might find it a bit shattering. It's all for you guys and gals. So we'll take a look at the news and notes. We will do our PTB Nation Asshole of the Week and a lot more. But first, let's hear from our good friends at WrestleChat.net. Because
Arby's, beef and cheese, and do you believe in God?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty religious.
That's right.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Beck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
WrestleChat.net is always your home for everything pro wrestling. A myriad of stories and columns and results for you. Ring of Honor, TNA. TNA's having a lot of... we might have to do a TNA segment soon. A lot of crazy crap going on there with Scott Steiner and Hogan and all this other nonsense. You can hop on there and read as much of it as you can and want to on WrestleChat.net. Ring of Honor as well. MMA. Obviously the podcast, as well as their great message board. And while you are perusing, just look to the right of the screen. You will see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it. You'll go right to the soon-to-be 128-episode archive. That is yours truly, the Great Place to Be podcast. So, WrestleChat.net is always where it's at.
Scott, I got a couple stories for you tonight, but here's the first one I thought you'd enjoy. I meant to tell you this one the other day. Went sure. to my cousin Vinny's wedding.
Ah, yes, I forgot. How'd it go?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time. A lot of fun. Ah,
yes.
And they have one of those little photo booths, you know, you put on the stupid costumes and you take the picture and then...
Oh, right.
The picture. So we go in there, and my dad and my sister were like, oh, let's go do a family one. So we go in there, it's, you know, me, my mom, my dad, my wife, and my sister's boyfriend, we all go in. And so we're taking a couple pictures, and I had put a feather boa on my dad to be funny. And you know my dad, very, very, not serious, but he's not a guy to get dressed up in costume.
Right.
So he's got a pair of sunglasses on, he's got the boa on. So I'm not really paying attention to what he's doing. So we get out later, and he's all excited. He grabs the pictures, he brings them over to me, he goes, look at this, Jesse the Body Ventura. He's got the boa, the glasses, and he gave this big thumbs up like Jesse. It was fucking hilarious. It caught me off, totally off guard and completely cracked me up. So it got me thinking, I'm like, I forget how... a bigger wrestling fan he was back in the day, and I wanted to maybe share some Jesse Ventura or some older shows. Where would I be able to direct him to read about those?
Well, there are plenty of shows involving Jesse the Body, but you can go to thehistoryofwwe.com, purveyed by our good friend and sometimes tri co-host Graham Cawthon. Plenty of results, including any Jesse the Body stuff. In the event center rolling right now is the memorable January 23rd, 1984 house show at Madison Square Garden. Of course, that is the show that Hulk Hogan won the world title for the first time. Right now, there's a match between Ivan Putski and Sergeant Slaughter.
Ivan Paduski,
as Jesse would say. And plenty of other matches. You want to know where you can find them? Guess where you can find them. TheHistoryOfWWE.com. Graham has everything there. WWE results, old Crockett, NWA, WCW, ECW. He's pumping up both the Ring of Honor and TNA pages. All sorts of columns, DVD results, reviews, old posters, the show posters, all sorts of great stuff. So go to thehistoryofwwe.com and our good friend Graham Cawthon, always doing a great job. And we can get as much Jesse as possible. Now I have a vision because
I got to share that. I got to get the picture and show it to you when you come in.
Gazo and a boa.
It was really funny.
It was tremendous.
And speaking of everything wrestling, everything place to be. Wrestling is available on iTunes. If you go there, you have our full catalog, all 100 and what do we have to now? 28 episodes?
Soon to be 28.
128 yep. Episodes are all loaded in there. You can listen to them at any time. And also, on the Stitcher app, you can go to stitcherradio.com. You can download it for your iPad, your iPhone. And I checked on both, finally, iPad and iPhone, and both have the previous 10 episodes for your enjoyment. Just search P2B, and it should come right up without a problem. And I actually listened to our In Your House Good Friends, Better Enemies streaming on Stitcher on my phone. So...
Ah, yes.
Check it out. It's a cool little touch. And you can also not only listen to our reviews, you can also read about them. Where, Scott?
You can read about our reviews and lots more on our message board, where we came from, where we started. Bigelow34.proboards.com.
Actually, we started at jpdean.proboards.
We did start in the Wrestling Kingdom. I forgot about that. Yes, that is our good friend Jim.
Metallica.
Yes, we were born from there. Does he even go on that? Does he even still cultivate that
board? Jim, no. It's pretty much dead.
I got to find it again because we had so much good stuff in there. But our board is exciting. It is coming up. You do realize, JR, coming up in October, it'll be our 5-year anniversary of the board.
Yes. Crazy.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff on there. We have obviously JR's and my pay-per-view reviews, which we hope you would follow along while you hear us do the Vintage Vaults. We have great current reviews. We have great Territory Wars. Rav and those guys doing a great job. We have a lot of great tournaments. Right now we're in the midst of our sports movie tournament. We are in the Final Four right now. I'm actually very excited. I thought one of my favorite movies was going to get screwed, but it's actually not. It's still in there. So, actually, I was talking to Greeny last night while we were in the chat, and we actually have a new tournament starting up soon.
Excellent.
So he's working on that now, and I think it's starting Sunday. So please hop on bigelow34.proboards.com. We have a lot of fun on that board. We love writers. If you want to write, come on aboard. Absolutely free, no charge. You want to write about anything. I actually read JR today. I finally had a chance to sit and read your last Superstars write-up.
Great episode.
Yeah,
that's week of Survivor Series 92.
I didn't realize Virgil actually got a title match against Brett. I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah. I remember Jim and I. That was a big day in our lives in 1992. We were very excited about that match for some reason.
Just hop on the train. There's always room. Bigelow34.proboards.com. It is where JR and I cultivated a lot of things before we came here to the place to be. So, not anytime.
And another train you can hop on is the Jay Wimette train.
Hell yeah.
Taking off some speed, our buddy Jay Wimette, of course, battling lymphedema. Not fun. He's talking about him about his updates today. He's hoping to have some test results next week. But poor kid's battling, and he's fighting his heart out. He loves all the support. He loves wrestling, and he really appreciates the money you give him. And in return for that money, he will send you some great wrestling DVDs. He's got a hell of a collection. I got some pay-per-views coming my way in the next couple weeks. Jay, you know, he needs the money. It helps defray the medical costs. So if you're looking for cheap wrestling DVDs, just hit him up. His stuff is great quality. I've not heard one person say a bad word about the quality he presents out to you. So I already know we got a bunch of guys in on it. We're going to hit him up. So let's keep it coming. Let's keep Jay. Help him out with his medical bills. And give him your support, too. He's a really nice kid. And I know that hearing these shout-outs and hearing us push him and hearing you guys being so kind to him and generous with your time and money also gets him going as well. So, we love Jay, so help him out wherever you can.
Absolutely. Did you have any other...
Yeah, I did have another little story I thought you'd enjoy. So Thursday night, my friend Don came over.
Hey, my man, the Curb guy. Man, Curb.
And we were... do you know he named his pet rabbit Kirby Your Enthusiasm? Kirby? No, that was a
joke. Did he really?
Yeah. So anyway, so he came over. We had to go pick up the new TV for the basement that I picked up from my sister's house. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to our old haunt, Smoky Bones, for dinner.
Ah, the bone.
Yep. So we had separate cars. He was following me in his car, drive up Route 117, and we hit this light that turns into a plaza that cuts towards Smoky Bones. Mm-hmm. So the light going straight was green, but the turn light to go left was red. Well, me and the cowboy maverick that I am, I was like, fuck it, I don't play by anyone's rules but my own. The light was green, but no one was coming. The turn light was red, but I said, fuck it, I'm going to bang a left. Bang the left at the light, turn in. Past TGI Fridays, I look in my mirror, and Don has been pulled over by a police officer.
Nice job.
He followed me to the light. So I'm like, all right, I got a couple options. I can just keep going, or I can just park here and wait for him. So I decided to sit there and wait for him. So as I'm texting him, saying to, name drop my brother, who's a West Warwick, police officer, I can barely get the text out when I look up and the police officer is sitting next to my car. So I rolled down the window and he's like, what's wrong with you? He's like, are you colorblind? What are you doing? And I said, I really have no excuse. I said, I don't know what I was doing. It was stupid. He's like, you made me pull you over because, people saw you do that. And I couldn't just sit there and let people look at you doing this. So you made me pull you over. You made your buddy go through the light. Monkey see, monkey do. He's a clown, basically. He just looks at me. I apologize again. He says, stop being stupid, and then drives off. So now I'm very relieved. So Don and I are laughing because this shit only happens to us. We get the Smoky Bones. What happened with you? What did you tell him? He goes, the officer was like, where are you going in such a rush? And Don just looked at him and goes, Smoky Bones. And I'm like, this cop was like, we are the fucking biggest losers in the world. Like, where are you going in such a rush that you had to run this red light so blatantly? Oh, we're going to Smoky Bones to get some fucking ribs. It's like asinine. So, I don't know. Stupid shit, man. Stupid shit.
If it was Lurie, you'd have said, I got to go to Little Caesars.
Yeah, right. I need a bowl of sugar tits fast.
Oh God! When I see Don, in July, I have to give him the business. Oh God! So in other words, you didn't put the light over. Is that what you did? You pretty much Triple H'd the light.
Yes.
Oh, I don't care. I'm not putting this light over.
Yep, I Triple H'd it right to hell.
Oh God!
I said I've seen better red lights before. I'm not going to sell this one.
And see, then you were the cop, and Triple H was you, pretty much. You were the cop, came up to you and told you to put over the light.
All right. You're ruining it. You're ruining what was a semi-funny kind of story.
Whatever. That's okay. Don made it funnier. Anyway, okay. All right. Speaking of funny things, let's go to the news and notes. Okay. Ted DiBiase Jr. and his wife welcomed a new child into their family. His wife gave birth to a 6-pound, 9-ounce baby boy Tuesday afternoon, which the couple named Tate McKinley DiBiase. I almost thought it said Ted McKinley. It's Ace from Love Boat. DiBiase, who is currently off WWE television.
He's a big fan of Married with Children.
Yes, exactly. Due to injuries, tweeted the following on Tuesday. Tate McKinley DiBiase was born a healthy boy today at 4'17", weighing 6.9 pounds. Thank you, Lord. May Tate bless your name. Psalm 127, verse 3. Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase revealed on Twitter that he is also in attendance for the birth.
Good. I was, you know, I was hoping he had more of a Haas of a baby, a DiBiase family.
Yeah, that is true. I wonder if Virgil would have, if this was the 80s. Virgil, it would have been great.
Give me those blasting doves.
blasting in the friggin'. All right. Despite being fired, quote unquote, the WWE Live Events webpage lists The Big Show for WWE's upcoming Mexican tour in 2 weeks and for all TV and SmackDown live events starting on June 2nd. So.
Cool.
But again, you know what that means. That's usually.
Yeah.
Do you believe any of it or not? But anyway, just wanted to put it out there. The main events for the Spain WWE Raw Tour. Man, they're traveling like crazy, huh?
Good. Yeah, they should be.
Yeah. WWE Raw Tour includes CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan and John Cena versus Lord Tensai and John Laurinaitis in a handicap match.
Hmm. Laurinaitis going to keep right. You know, we didn't really talk about this, by the way, at our picks. We talked about the storyline, but how do you think he's going to be in the ring? You think he's going to, you know? But he looks like he's in pretty good shape, and he was a pretty competent wrestler when he was active.
Oh yeah, in all seriousness, he's not a hump by any stretch. I mean, he's not gonna look like Vince, that's for sure.
No, he won't be stumbling around, tripping.
Yeah, falling over himself. No, I think he'll look fine, and I think Cena will make. And you know, one thing about Cena, as much as he still has some things that annoy us, he will make Funky look good.
Yeah, definitely.
Him too, anyway, he'll make him look good. Mark Henry looks to be returning to action around the end of June. He is not advertised for any appearances until the June 25th Raw Super Show. Because we haven't finally the guy had some time off. Don't even know what the injury is. I think I have a story later on to confirm what actually he got was injured. I know he kind of thought it was his groin or it was knee or something. But we'll see. I believe I have a story later on down the list. And an update on John Cena's divorce. This really bothers me. According to one person at WWE, if Cena's divorce will go away smoothly or explode into ugliness, as it seems to be one or the other, he didn't give a positive response. He strongly suggested that it will be getting ugly and fast. I don't like the sound of that because, you know, we're not talking about crappy promos here. It just seems like Cena's a genuinely nice guy. And now we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too much into this because we really don't know the deal. The details,
no, we don't know.
The truth. We do know that she hired, you know, Hogan's wife's lawyer, which is never a good thing.
No.
But apparently that prenup in place is not looking good for Mrs. Cena. So
right.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. And, you know, now you know maybe why he was going through some of the stuff he was going through in December and January when he took the time off. But, yeah, I mean, it sucks. It does. But
yeah, it does suck.
We won't... hypothesize anymore about
it. No, we won't. No, we'll just keep paying attention to the news stories as they come out because we don't know what's going on. So here's the official description of WWE's new book, My Favorite Match, WWE Superstars Tell the Stories of Their Most Memorable Matches. As noted, the book's scheduled for release on July 31st. Quote, relive the most breathtaking, unbelievable wrestling action ever as WWE superstars and divas recount their greatest matches of all time, featuring 8 pages of full-color photographs. What makes a great match? For some fans, it's drama and suspense, and for others, it's tables and chairs. In My Favorite Match, the wrestlers themselves will settle the score, taking readers through some of their most extreme, unbelievable, and memorable matches in sports entertainment history. My Favorite Match is based on exclusive interviews from huge names in the sports entertainment world, including Shawn Michaels, Dusty Rhodes, Mark Henry, Roddy Piper, Rey Mysterio, and many more. Fans will relive the pain, the emotion, and the sheer athleticism through the eyes of the wrestlers who lived to tell about it. Should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw that book. Did you? You saw that book that came out? They did like the WWE Championship book. Do you ever see that?
No, I haven't really checked out the encyclopedias either.
Yeah,
I know they're making a new one.
Yeah, well, I have the other one right in front of me here. The one that came out. What was it? Maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I guess they are going to upgrade it. I would think. Speaking of adding media. Four more titles have been revealed for the upcoming WWE Superstar Collection DVDs, bringing it to a total of 8 confirmed for the series. Already confirmed include single-disc DVD releases on John Cena, Zack Ryder, Sheamus, and Daniel Bryan. Shock Entertainment out of Australia revealed the 4 extra editions will feature Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Shawn Michaels, and Rey Mysterio. Reports indicate that the four new additions to the DVD will be in September, and the other two in October. And then the story has synopses on all of them. I'm not going to read them.
And now, Ray, I read there was a story that came across WrestleChat recently that or later in the evening tonight that they're slashing his merchandise prices. So I don't know. Oh, who knows if he's even going to be back or what?
That's very, very interesting. Getting back to the story of crappy ratings, the May 11th episode of SmackDown garnered 1.7, down from the 1.92 the week before. It was the lowest rated first run Friday episode this year. It averaged 2.53 million viewers, down from 2.71 last week. It was the least watched first run Friday episode since March 30th. Was it March 30th? Well, you know why? That was the go home before WrestleMania. That one. And a lot of people don't watch that, you know, the access stuff, and some people don't even care. So we read that one already. Here we go. We talked about this earlier when we were doing our picks. As noted before, Zack Ryder vs. Kane will take place on YouTube for the WWE Over the Limit pre-show this coming Sunday. Vince McMahon was so impressed with the Extreme Rules pre-show numbers, which was, Santino defending the U.S. title against The Miz, that we can expect to see regular pay-per-view pre-show matches on YouTube from here on out. WWE is making good money from their new YouTube partnership, which is why we've seen a lot more videos being uploaded to the account lately. Every morning I go on YouTube, and there's like another 15 videos.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're definitely loading them up. I like it. I like it a lot. They're making good money off of it. It was a smart... I was all for this from the start. I know a lot of people there thought this was just a response to the network failing, but I knew this was something different from the start. You could tell by the way they were presenting it, and yeah, I think it's very smart. I think we see companies and professional sports leagues that refuse to embrace YouTube, like MLB and NBC does the same thing, where they pull their shit instead of reaching a partnership agreement and profiting from it. Instead, they go the opposite route and they just piss people off. So I like to see them embrace this. I think it's very fan-friendly, the way they give you all these videos. I think the original content they produce is unique. I think this is where a lot of their stars shine. You know, back in the day, they had TNT and primetime shows like that. This is their opening now to shine and show some personality in these kinds of things when they're not overly produced and scripted. So I like it. And I like the pre-show idea. I'm all on board for that, too.
Yeah, I am, too. As noted before, here's the other story to back up the one from earlier. Mark Henry is going in for surgery. This was yesterday, so obviously he's out of it. While this isn't confirmed, word going around is that he's having surgery for the groin injury he suffered a while back. Henry said that in the past that if he couldn't come back 100% from his injury, he would retire. There was talk before WrestleMania this year that Henry could be coming up on the end of his career.
That's sad. Yeah, I'd hate to see him go down like this with another injury. I mean, I guess it would be fitting in the end, but he... he finally turned it around. He finally became, and maybe that's even more fitting as well. After all these years of being a pariah and a guy that everyone was a punchline, he finally turns it around and becomes a star and a guy that most people really enjoy to watch. And then he goes and gets hurt and he may be done. So,
yeah.
Sad. Sad ending to what is finally turned out to, deliver on some of the promise he showed early.
Yeah, exactly. WWE Intercontinental Champion Cody Rhodes appears to be starting a feud with U.S. Champion Santino Marella on Twitter. Cody wrote last night, "The pinnacle of your reign at Milan Miracle," is his Twitter tag, "as United States champion, has been the title itself, covering up on that tattered-ass singlet. Oh, and another thing, Milan Miracle, I'll give you $500 if you can tell me who Wahoo McDaniel is. Consider it a homework assignment."
Good stuff. Now, I think that could be a possible feud they tack on in post-production on SmackDown. After they had Santino beat Cody, I could see them doing an extra little backstage segment where they throw that on to the pay-per-view. We're talking about possible bonus matches.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's a good idea as well. All right, I threw this as a jab earlier when we were talking about Raw. Vince McMahon appeared on last night's episode of Dancing with the Stars in a pre-taped video. This was Monday night. And there were biographical video packages shown on each of the semifinalists. And Vince appeared on the video for Maria Menounos, saying, quote, "She's daring, loves to perform, a great work ethic. And when you have those qualities and are gutsy on top of it, you can make it to the top."
Yes!
That Menounos! Menudo!
Now, did she survive last night,
I don't. I don't watch it.
Well, you didn't see the, you're in charge of gathering news information. To me, that seems like a logical...
Let's take a look. Let's stay Dancing with the Stars, and we'll see... We'll see what happened. Hasn't she been on before? Isn't she like a returning?
No.
This is her first time on? Let's see. Okay.
Oh!
All right, set you up. Hit a home run.
Okay, let's see. All right, one of the featured tweets. So it's Donna Maria and Derek versus, they're done. Maria and Derek are going home.
Oh.
So Maria Menounos is out.
How do you vote her off?
She's out.
So who's left? Is Urkel still in there?
I just X'd out the the story.
Donald Driver.
Oh my God! You're the one that has the wife. Doesn't she watch it?
Yeah, she does. That's how I know who's on it.
Well, then you should.
I make sure to slyly walk by when Maria Menounos is on. That's about it.
All right. On this week's edition of MLW's Conan Show, Conan spoke about Rey Mysterio's recent suspension for violating the wellness policy.
Conan has a show. This guy gonna go away?
No. Quote: Rey Mysterio. I can guarantee you categorically, he doesn't do any drugs. He's a guy that really lives up to his role model image.
He's only failed 15 drug tests. But
15 drug tests, yeah. He's got two little kids that he really wants to be an example for. Isn't Dominic like 20 now?
Yeah.
he even told me, dude, please do not come
to
my...
Been acting kind of funky.
Dude, please do not come to my house. Hi. What, he said that to Conan? He really wants to be a good role model. He's not on the juice or anything. I'm not even reading the rest of this. Such an idiot. Okay. Getting back to the storyline on Raw involving The Big Show. The Big Show was fired on Raw, we know, despite Show getting his knees pleading for his job. Don't expect the firing storyline to last very long. His show is advertised for SmackDown events throughout the month. He's even being advertised for this week's SmackDown taping from Hershey, as well as being at Over the Limit on Sunday. So, obviously, that whole storyline is kind of up in the air. I'm not sure what's going on there. So, here's another guy that needs to just shut up and go away. A press release was issued recently touting UFC star Tito Ortiz going into the California chapter of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame on May 20th. Talking about Tito's popularity, they claim that he has sold out more pay-per-views than any UFC fighter in history and has drawn a higher buy rate than WWE's WrestleMania 19.
His old tag habit.
That's for sure. Popular WrestleMania of all time. What? The press release also talks about Tito's future as he gets ready to leave USC, and it teases that he may return to professional wrestling with WWE. We noted weeks back that Tito expressed interest in working for WWE while doing UFC media interviews. You know, I'm tired of these UFC guys suddenly like, oh, let's go to wrestling. That's not as real. Shut the fuck up. Seriously. How about this? This is I got this for you. Usually, JR, when I'm making the list of news stories, there's always one specific one that I know will really make you happy. Legitimate, like make you smile. I think this is the story this week that will make you smile. There's speculation that Matt Morgan may return to WWE now that his contract with TNA reportedly ran out. Morgan's contract doesn't expire until October, but word is that he becomes a free agent if TNA uses up all his dates. Morgan said in a recent interview that he's loyal to TNA, but WWE has expressed interest in bringing him back, and there could be circumstances that lead him back. I know you were a big Matt Morgan guy back in the day, so...
Yeah, I like Matt Morgan. I think he's been great in TNA, a little bit misused. So, I mean, I could see them definitely bringing him in for a shot, that's for sure.
Mm. Okay, and our final story. The WWE creative writers are at it again and may change things up at the last minute. According to Figure Four Online, which is our man Brian Alvarez, it looks like they are not sure when the Triple H and Brock Lesnar match is going to happen. The original plans were to have the two-part-timers face off at this summer's SummerSlam. It seems as though WWE officials are in a panic over the Triple H vs. Brock Lesnar feud and may move the match to No Way Out in June. The general feeling is that it'll be a huge mistake having the match at No Way Out instead of at SummerSlam.
Doesn't matter anyway. It's like a draw now.
Probably not. No, you're probably right. It probably isn't going to draw, so it doesn't matter anyway. So, you know who would draw? Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Remember when Piper used to wear the tuxedo?
Yes.
The tuxedo t-shirt?
It's an odd, with his...
I don't know. I just saw him standing out. He's just his screen's in the event. How about Salvatore Bellomo? He used to draw. I'm just seeing him in the ring right now at this house show. I liked when Piper used to wear the tuxedo shirts with his kilt.
I guess he's stamp wearing the tuxedo t-shirt to the Funk retirement ceremony.
Not involved. So there's your news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. We always thank our guys at WrestleChat for all the good and hard work that they do. Now, everyone, it is time for the most popular interactive segment in the podcast world.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
At grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
There's a theme song for Sugar Tits Supreme brings us in.
I was about to say, just the more I hear him do the open, the more it just seems to fit.
Yeah, it does fit.
Okay, so as we mentioned, the defending Asshole of the Week champion is Phillies pitcher Cole Hamels for throwing at Bryce Harper. All right, here we go. Let us begin. All right, here we go. Austin Pfaff starts off with...
Mr. Pfaff.
I would have to say John Cena's soon-to-be ex-wife. Now, granted, it's nobody's business as to what happened with the marriage, but for her to hire the same lawyer that Linda Hogan had is just ridiculous. Just shows that she's going to attempt to suck Cena dry of everything he's worth. He probably didn't do anything wrong, and this is coming from someone who isn't a Cena fan. Cena shouldn't leave her a thing except her you-know-what in the sink.
Okay. Lifelong WWE fan Jay Hinchy. I got to go with John Cena's soon-to-be ex-wife also. I can't believe she hired Linda Hogan's... Oh, wait, did you say the same exact thing? You did. Linda Hogan's lawyer to try and suck him dry. Good thing he had a prenup. I hope she gets nothing. Okay.
The Pablo Picasso of PTB Nation, Jason Greenhouse. I'm going with Canadian broadcaster Ron McLean for his tasteless comments during the introduction of Game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Rangers and Capitals on the CBC network. McLean opened the broadcast with the following words. From the capital of the U.S. of A., it's New York and Washington. The economic and political engines of America, united in the birth of the country, they're also linked in tragedy. They were the twin targets of the coordinated attacks on 9/11. It's crazy to compare with the emergency responders during that time, but a spirit has to start somewhere.
What the fuck?
What? A better way to open up the broadcast could have been to mention the fact that a Canadian team hasn't won the Stanley Cup since 1993, and it won't happen again this season, eh? No disrespect towards Canada or their hockey teams. I just think that Mr. McLean should have chose his words better. I'm not offended. I just don't know what sense it makes.
No point. Yeah. All right, our buddy Michael McDonald, Philadelphia, all of it. The 76ers, the Phillies, if they have an NFL team, screw them too. Screw Philadelphia brand cheese, screw Allen Iverson, screw them, the bastards. I don't get what the dude from Australia has such a beef with Philadelphia for.
Yeah, well, I don't like any of their teams either, so I agree with you, Michael McDonald.
That's odd.
Yeah, it is very weird. That came out of nowhere. Corey Ferreira. John Cena's soon-to-be ex-wife for hiring the same lawyer Linda Hogan hired. Does this prove she's a gold-digging bitch? Perhaps. But the fact that she had to hire the same lawyer tells me she wants money in the end. Also, Cena himself for that god-awful promo he gave on Raw that's sold no buys for the pay-per-view this Sunday and might have taken some away. Worst promo in a long time.
Yep. J.R. Senior D'Amato, Patrick Kane from the Blackhawks, acting like a drunken frat boy in Wisconsin. Numerous pictures circulated of him groping women and stumbling around wearing a t-shirt with Kaner on the back. We represent the NHL, D-bag.
Okay, Safazio. Our man Safazio says, I don't have to use one breath because it's pretty quick. My asshole is Kim Kardashian, once again flaunting her stupid relationship in our faces like, shut the fuck up, we get it, and also for the Red Sox for being in the doghouse this season, bastards.
Okay. Our buddy He-Man Vermont. I apologize, I know we, I don't know if I have your name somewhere, I'm sorry. He is the gentleman going to Over the Limit, though. My asshole of the week goes to the tanning mom, not because you look like a burnt sweet potato or you're trying to take your five-year-old kid tanning, but because you use your name and Playboy in the same sentence. You really think anyone wants to see your dried-up fun bags that resemble what you might see after opening a jar of sun-sweet prunes. So instead of trying to cash out your 5 minutes of fame by posing nude and ruining a magazine that brings joy to so many married men, and subscribe only for the articles, of course, you can always try out for the next season of Jersey Shore. I hear they're looking for a new, overly tan, uneducated, talentless cast member to get shit-faced and show off parts of the body that even a starving child in Africa would lose their appetite over. Good debut there.
Yes. Our man Wilkie, Mike Wilkinson, says, I am not going to jump on the Cena wife bandwagon as I do not know all the facts, and just because she hired that lawyer doesn't mean anything. My asshole of the week goes to The Big Show for the horrendous acting job on Raw. I haven't seen such bad acting since the Kickboxer 2-5 movies. Yikes. Okay.
Steve Gross, I'm going to see Brian McNamee and Roger Clemens. I hate you both for this awful trial. Go crawl into a hole together and die.
Did you see the story that two jurors have fallen asleep?
Yes. It does seem like a very boring trial. It's a gigantic waste of time. Does anyone really care if Roger Clemens goes to jail or not? Who gives a fuck?
It doesn't really matter. He's not going to the Hall of Fame, so it's just totally irrelevant. And there's a guy who's probably got most unbelievable stats of any pitcher ever. Obviously, the when he won the back-to-backs in Toronto. I think that's where the right. light came on. All right, the man with no name, which is our man Fax, he says, my pick goes to Triple H. I've had worse for basically making Brock look weak for breaking his arm and shrugging it off. Plus, I'm sick of Triple H getting involved in everything when he doesn't need to, like last year with Summer of Punk and turning into Triple H versus Nash. And now with Brock. Oh, and Cena is a close second with his corny promo last night. Do you think people are going to want to watch Raw if they're flipping channels with Cena acting that way? No. We all know Triple H is going to go over Brock.
Jay Hinchy, with another submission. I'm going to add people who still complain about Triple H. That act wore out a few years ago, and even today, people are still whining about him being involved in storylines. Get over it.
Our man Irv from the Brooklyn says, I'm going with Devin Ebanks for the classic L.A. Laker meltdown when they get killed in a playoff game. Just a matter of time before Andrew Bynum starts throwing elbows again. Stay classy, Lakers.
I think we'll save that for in a couple weeks, maybe, or not even. Maybe just next week.
Probably next week. Yeah, the way that series is going, I don't disagree with you.
All right, and finally, Kevin Bowers. My vote for Asshole of the Week may be an early candidate for Asshole of the Year, and that's Meta World Mishap himself, Ron Artest. He really could have came out and squashed the whole elbow situation, but oh no, he doesn't shake hands with substitutes. And to say Harden flopped when you hit him with the Chris Hero-like elbow is pathetic. Let's not forget him trying to take him down during Game 1 on Monday night, which is a lot more entertaining than Raw. I almost cried like Big Show watching that crap. Even worse that he had to participate. Can't wait to see the tantrums, elbows, and clotheslines Artest and Bynum will be throwing come Friday or Saturday with their backs against the wall.
Okay, and is that it? Because we got more... Yep, that's it. All right, I don't know. I'd have to say she had the early lead, but I think I'd have to go with Cena's soon-to-be ex-wife.
Yeah, I mean, you know, based on the votes, we got to give it to her, I guess. I don't really want to take a side on that right now. But
yeah, I don't either. But remember, this is not this. We're just tallying votes in this. This is not. We're not picking sides. We're just tallying votes.
I have my own nominee, and it's the guy who, in the rain, walking down the path out of work to the garage because he has an umbrella. Thinks everyone does, and he can just fucking sashay his way down the path so everyone else gets soaked behind him. Fucking seven people piled up deep behind his fat ass waddling down the fucking path. Just because you're using an umbrella, buddy, doesn't mean everyone else has one at that time. Fucking move.
Okay, so in the third asshole of the week of 2012, Cole Hamels has passed the torch to John Cena's separated, soon-to-be ex-wife. So there we go. Let's see. Quick updates on what's going on.
Actually, I do want to update one thing before you get to scores. Yes. Will Rimes of Tampa Bay he got hit in the arm, walked to first, and during commercial said he needed to come out, and he ended up collapsing on the way to the dugout. I guess he's up and okay now on the cart, but kind of a scary moment. My friend Jeff Marchado is texting me that, or IMing me about it right now as we speak.
Wow. Interesting. Who was that again?
Will Rimes from Tampa Bay.
Oh, from Tampa Bay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Former, he's actually a former Detroit Tiger as well. All right. Well, right now, there is just about 4.5 minutes to go in the third period at Madison Square Garden, and the Devils holding on to a 3-2 lead over the Rangers. So if the Devils win this game, that series will be tied at 1, heading to the Rock for game 3 on, I believe, Saturday. And I'll tell you something. Even if you're not a sports fan, if you're even a casual hockey fan, you have got to give props to the Los Angeles Kings. They're an absolute wrecking machine right now.
Oh yeah.
You know, 10-1 in the playoffs.
Yep.
Undefeated on the road. Do you realize, JR, they've gone 2-0 in every series by winning the first two on the road? That's unfathomable.
Mm. No, they've been on fire. I mean, hot goaltending and a lot of confidence will take you a long way.
And that trade for Carter has been a godsend. The guy had a hat trick last night against Phoenix. So they're up 2-0 tomorrow night, game 3.
Good. I hope Phoenix gets destroyed.
I can't. Well, I do too, because you know what? I always get depressed because I know this one's a further on down the line, but my client, the CBS Sports Network, the cable arm of CBS Sports, we simulcast the Tim Brando show. Tim Brando, of course, is announcer and play-by-play guy. And anytime he does a hockey segment on his radio show, he always plays Brass Bonanza, which makes me long for the days of the 80s when the Hartford Whalers would skate out of the Civic Center. Obviously, if Phoenix moves, they won't be going to Hartford. They'll hopefully be going to Quebec City.
This is what I want to happen. I want Phoenix to lose that hockey team, And 9 years from now, I want someone to interview a Phoenix Coyotes fan and say, you know what? I sit here with my Coyotes jersey on, just waiting for that phone to ring. It's better been 9 years since our last hockey game here, but you never know when that phone's going to ring. You have to be prepared.
And the Coyote mascot's jumping on a trampoline. It's going to be crazy. For the first time since probably 1993, the rink will be out longer than the hardwood at the Staples Center.
Very enjoyable.
To be honest with you. Obviously, both teams that occupy the Staples Center, the Lakers and the Clippers, both in the conference semifinals,
mm-hmm.
Their chances of winning the series are highly unlikely. Game two tomorrow night at the SBC Center between the Clippers and the Spurs. Spurs winning last night by 16. I'm giving my brother grief. My brother Chris, who, of course, has been on our fine program, is a Spurs fan because he lived in San Antonio. And I told him, yeah, sure, they'll win another one. And then two of their five rings will be from strike years. So, and then, of course, going on right now, they're actually tied with 4 minutes to go in the first half. Lakers and Thunder 35 apiece. They've got to win tonight. There's just no doubt about it. They obviously have to steal a game in San Antonio or in Oklahoma City if they have any chance to win that series. I watched game one. I watched the first half. Which depressed me even more after turning off that hideous end of Raw. I put that on and then just watched Russell Westbrook just go batshit on a very slow, plodding Laker half-court defense. It'll take a miracle to win this series. I'm not going to lie.
And who do you like, Oklahoma City and San Antonio?
Oh, I love the Thunder. Love the Thunder.
Think so?
They're just younger. The Spurs are just as old as the Lakers are.
Yeah, and but they got a more of a mix of young and old. They got some young guys that get some good minutes. They're so well-read. I don't know. I feel like everyone's jumping on the Thunder, but I think everyone's overlooking the Spurs.
I have nothing but the utmost respect for Greg Popovich. I think he's a great coach. I just think this Thunder team finally has gone over their inadequacies of the last 2 years, and I think that they're going to take it to the next level and make it to the finals.
Well, I mean, this is very similar to the Bulls finally beating the Pistons. You got to knock off the Spurs to maybe finally end their run and start your own.
But you know who I'm really stoked about? Oh, and by the way, game three tonight in Philly went to the Celtics.
Yes, they killed them.
They killed them. I'll tell you something, though, JR. What team were you and I glowering about when we did our NBA preview back in October?
Our Pacers.
Those damn Indiana Pacers. And you know what? You saw it. I don't know if you watched any of it, but you see a Heat team. I'm enjoying this. I'll tell you why. Because everybody thought that Chris Bosh was the third wheel on that team. Well, you could see that you take away his size, and suddenly a lot of the weapons that LeBron has, not necessarily D-Wade because he's not as big, but LeBron's now got to post up a bit. His size has to be used in the paint, which means he can't really do anything out on the wing, which means he can't create. And we saw what happened. Plus, they're not hitting their free throws. You got to hit your free throws, guys. I think as a team, the Heat are 58% from the free throw line in the fourth quarter.
I was torn at the end of that game because I really wanted Indiana to win. But I also didn't want LeBron to miss those free throws because I really don't feel like caring for the next month or 6 months or 8 months how he's a choker. I'm just tired of it.
I know. So there's that series. So the Pacers and Heat are 1-1.
I mean, things
three.
Are lining up well for the Celtics. I will say that. If they all stay healthy, I think Philly will give them a little bit of a scare here and there. And I like Philly as a team, but I think Boston's going to win that series. And if they get Indiana or even a broken Miami team, I think they can find themselves in the finals. I don't know if they can beat San Antonio or Oklahoma City, but.
So that's how both NHL and NBA playoffs look. Major League Baseball, obviously it's early on. The Orioles are still in first place in the AL East.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's leading the Central, but that division's very, very tight. And, of course, Texas still leading the West. Mike Socha fired Mickey Hatcher today.
All Pujols' fault because he comes over and decides to suck. Now poor Mickey Hatcher gets the axe.
Yeah, because a guy can't hit a home run in a cavernous ballpark. I think the Braves lead the NL East.
I was a year early on them. I was all over them last year, but they
I know
good this
they're
year.
Yeah, they're about a half game I think ahead of the the Nationals. Mets lost tonight 6-3. They've lost two in a row. Who's leading the Central? Oh, the Cardinals lead the Central. That's totally all mediocre division as well. And the Dodgers still looking good in the West.
Matt Kemp on the DL, though. A little hurt.
Yes. Yeah, tweaked his hammy. He's on the DL for a while. Strasburg lost his first game yesterday. And you, my friend, who gave me guff, even though
guff,
you had a
huh?
right to be, that Frank Francisco is not as good as five guys in your bullpen that could be closers. I'm not disagreeing with you, but now it looks like you're going to need all of them.
Well, even hurt, they're better than him.
Oh, I agree with that. He almost blew the game last night.
You would take Mariano Rivera over him. You would take David Robertson over him. You would take Rafael Soriano over him. You would take Jabba Chamberlain over him. You would take Corey Wade over him. You would take David Ardsma over him. I think you may even take Boone fucking Logan over him.
You know what it is? I'm sick and tired. I don't know how this is going to sound, but I don't know. I don't know if I should approach this. You know what? I'm not going to bother. This might get ugly. I was saying something today about all these closers, these big, like 6 foot eight guys. I was going to say they're all Dominican, but they're not all Dominican. But all these big, it's got closers. Everyone thinks closers. This is why I love Mariano. Closers, they all think they need to be 6'7", 305 pounds, and throw 100 miles an hour. Even though none of them have any guts when the chips are on the table. Frank Francisco's like that. Armando Benitez was like that. You know, all these guys that are like 6'7", 290, think all they do is stare down to the plate, throw one pitch, and think they're the greatest things in sliced bread.
I think it comes down to this. I mean, we're seeing it proven again this year. Don't spend big money on closers or relievers because you never know who's going to be good, who's going to be bad, who's going to fall apart when. The whole closer mentality thing, I think, is a little overplayed. I mean, look, the Phillies spent all the money on Jonathan Papelbon, and what's he doing? You know, they're in the basement. So,
yep.
You know, the minor league guys, journeymen, they're all fungible. I would just mix and match until you find the right mix for that year. I think that's the best way to go with bullpens.
Yep, I agree. So that's it. Do we have any other else? Let's see if there's anything else in sports we need to talk about. No, not really. We talked about Junior Seau. No. I think there's nothing else really. Any final words, sir? Anything else before we go gentle into that good night?
No, I guess we'll just give the update. We may have a show sooner than we thought. Depends. Some things are in motion regarding the cable situation in my house and the internet as well. So if things get up and running, well, we may still be taking next week off just because be getting settled in and the wife turning to work and a lot of stuff going on. So we may be off next week, but maybe we'll try and squeeze a vault into the end of the week. We'll see how things progress. But for right now, this is probably our last show, at least until the end of next week. So go back to our archive. We have 128 episodes to keep you entertained. And of course, we will be active on the Facebook page, on the message board. Lots of things always going on at Play Skippy Nation. Join us for our live chats for Raw. We'll be in there for Over the Limit Sunday night as well. Lots going on. Of course, participate in Sports Movies Tournament. Hit up the message board, read the reviews. You can follow us on Twitter, Place Number 2B Podcast. Go back in our archive, like I said, and visit us on Facebook. So with all that said.
And new tournament starts Sunday.
Yes. Yep.
Sunday or Monday? I'm not sure what Greenhouse said. I think it's Sunday.
Yeah, just stay tuned for the Facebook page.
Yeah.
All right, with all that said, we hope you all have a great rest of your week and weekend. For Scott Criscolo, I am Justin Rosero. Take care, everyone.
From what I heard, she got a baby
by Buster. My best friend said she used to fuck with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. 18 years, she got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got LiPo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should have got that insured Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup, yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave your ass, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, 18 years. And on her 18th birthday, found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas, Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down, get down, girl, go ahead. Now I ain't saying you a gold digger, you got knees. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy weed. You go out to eat, he can't pay, y'all can't leave. His dishes in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all washing, watch him. He gon' make it to a Benz out of that Datsun. listen. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors. Next week is the fries. So stick by his side. I know his dudes ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your ass for a white girl. Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down.